Outside the Box, where the personal and political collide. Today's topic is personal and political, too. In the previous Outside the Box, I talked about how much energy and money goes to the social services and mitigation of social problems, and how little to solutions of problems like poverty and homelessness. We address them primarily on an individual level, not on a political and public policy scale. There are similar imbalances for other issues like environment and climate, health care, criminal justice, and education. For example, many of us, myself included, try to drive fewer miles, use less fossil fuels and energy, grow and eat organic and local food, and recycle or reuse. However, at the same time, large corporations haul stuff to this country from overseas, where they're produced cheaply in unsafe factories, pollute air, water, and soil here and around the world, and market their products heavily to urge us to consume more and more. Most big companies get tax breaks and subsidies from our government to boot. We can change our personal lives to mitigate the problems, but as long as corporate polluters and energy users are left unchecked, the planet is going to struggle to survive. For healthcare, governments are focused on providing insurance. Hospitals and many medical caregivers survive on people's illnesses, not their wellness. Many of us take care of ourselves pretty well, but until we all commit to healthy living, we'll continue to be a sick society. We can demand public policies and values that encourage healthy, less processed foods, transportation that favors exercise through walking, biking, and mass transit rather than the auto, more focus on prevention and low-tech, non-pill-based responses to health problems, community health facilities like gyms, swimming pools, and yoga classes, and healthcare is a human right. When it comes to crime, it doesn't seem that any legislators, prosecutors, judges, or prison or jail officers know why people commit crimes or how to keep them out of the slammer in the first place. Yet, knowing why and addressing the distress that causes people to hurt others is the only way to reduce and end crime and keep people outside the prisons. There's also the large number of people locked up for victimless crimes like drug use that don't belong there at all. The threat of locking people up is rarely a deterrent. Punishment is not a solution. It only keeps people off the street for a while. It doesn't make the public safer, because the best strategies to change the behavior of those who may violate the law are rarely tried. Those root cause approaches, such as ensuring self-respect, ending poverty, learning conflict resolution techniques, appreciating differences, having a chance to live a worthwhile life, and sharing power with others, are not often part of crime prevention. Finally, our education system will continue to produce a lot of under- or uneducated students, as long as we keep giving up on many of them and assuming they are to blame. Many school systems have a cookie-cutter strategy where one method is assumed to work for everyone. But of course, students learn in different ways at different speeds. Every person wants to learn. The question is, what learning environment works best for them? It's hardly a student's fault if their school gets only half as much support as one nearby, so an individualized learning plan is not offered. A solution needs to include a public commitment to personalize education and the money to fund it. If we really want to solve, not just mitigate, the huge problems we face today, then we need to say yes to personal change, but a bigger yes to social change, to address root causes and transform the institutions and systems so they work for everyone. When you try to solve a community problem, how much of what you do is personal mitigation, and how much is political and solution-based? I'm Larry Danziger, still trying to commit all my time to solutions and none to mitigation.